In the Age of Ancients, the world was unformed, shrouded by fog. A land of grey crags, arch trees, and everlasting dragons. But then there was fire. And with fire came disparity. Heat and cold, life and death, and of course, light and dark. Then from the dark, they came and found the souls of lords within the flame. Nito, the first of the dead. The Witch of Izalith and her Daughters of Chaos. Gwyn, the Lord of Sunlight, and his faithful knights. And the furtive pygmy, so easily forgotten. With the strength of lords, they challenged the dragons. Gwyn's mighty bolts peeled apart their stone skins. The witches weaved great firestorms. Nito unleashed a miasma of death and disease. And Seath the Scaleless betrayed his own, and the dragons were no more. Thus began the Age of Fire. But soon the flames will fade, and only dark will remain. Even now, there are only embers. Man sees not light, but only endless nights. And amongst the living are seen carriers of the accursed dark side.
Rise, Hollow.
Rise. Hollow.
Rise, rise, rise,
rise,
hollow,
rise,
rise,
hollow,
hollow.
Rise, Hollow, and link the first flame, for you have been chosen to continue the Age of Fire. Before the first flame, the world was covered in fog, a land inhabited by everlasting dragons. This was the Age of Ancients. Beneath the surface of this world, a flame was lit, and this would be the catalyst to usher in the Age of Fire. There were four lords that led the charge to end the Age of Ancients. Lord Gwyn, protector of the first flame. Lord Nito, Lord of Death and Destruction. The Witch Izalith and her Daughters of Chaos. And the furtive pygmy who found and destroyed the Dark Soul. The four lords were assisted by Seath the Scaleless, an ancient dragon, outcast from the everlasting dragons because his body wasn't covered in the same stone scales that gave them their immortality. Seath was angry, and when Gwyn offered Seath a home in the Age of Fire, he didn't hesitate to betray and ultimately have a pivotal role in the genocide of his kind. And with this, the Age of Ancients ended, and it ushered in the Age of Fire. Dark Souls begins, and you find yourself locked away in the north of a dying land named Lordran. You are hidden behind iron bars in the Undead Asylum, surrounded by other humans brandishing the Dark Sign. The Dark Sign is a curse that some of humanity has been brandished with, meaning they are cursed to walk Lordran undead until the first flame is extinguished. Upon leaving your cell, your character wanders the halls of the Undead Asylum, stepping around or killing fellow humans. Fully hollowed people who are no more than a shell, their eyes lit up red as the embers of the first flame keeps them alive against their will. You enter a huge room, and from the ceiling drops the Asylum Demon, tasked with never letting a hollow leave the Undead Asylum. You narrowly escape the beast and meet a knight who has been struck down whilst exploring the asylum, the same man that gave you the means to leave your cell, the cell that you'd been destined to rot in and become a husk of a man. Oscar of Astoria had decided that you would become the chosen undead. You alone would become unkindled, meaning that you were the one to collect the Lord Souls and link the flame so that the Age of Fire may continue. The second gift that Oscar of Astora gives the Chosen Undead is an Estus Flask. This flask is to give you relief and life as you complete the quest ahead of you. With the gift of life and a better understanding of who you are, you're ready to defeat the Asylum Demon, and upon doing so, leave the Asylum and escape to Lordran. You arrive at Firelink Shrine, a safe haven within Lordran. At the center of the world, you'll spend the next 40 to 50 hours exploring. From here, the path is chosen by you. You can head straight to the depths and fight the armies of skeletal knights and soldiers, or you can head below to New Londo Ruins, where those who protect it are invulnerable to your sword, or you can head to the Undead Burg, where you'll find more hollowed humans desperate to end the Chosen Undead. The objective, as explained by the crestfallen knight found next to the bonfire, is for you to ring both bells of awakening. One is located high in the Undead Church, found by passing through the Undead Burg. The other is deep underground, the other side of a small village ravaged by poison, Blighttown. The most forgiving route is the Undead Burg. Upon fighting countless undead and defeating the bell gargoyles, stone creatures forged by the gods using strong magic, tasked with protecting Lordran. After you've rang this bell, the path to Blighttown becomes clear, through Darkroot Basin, and through the Valley of Drakes. The second bell is protected by Chaos Witch Kaelag, a daughter of the Witch of Izalith. Kaelag is corrupted by the Chaos Flame, and due to her exposure to the flame, has mutated into a spider-like creature, with a woman's torso and a spider's body. Upon defeating Kaelag and ringing the second bell of awakening, you are granted access to Anor Londo, a shining white city shrouded with everlasting sunshine, built by Gwyn, the King of Flame, to have as his capital, a home for the lords spawned by the first flame. It was within Anor Londo that the player finds the Lord Vessel, a receptacle for the Lord Souls, and the only way to enter the kiln of the first flame. The Lord Vessel is guarded by Dragonslayer Ornstein and Executioner Smau, captains of Gwyn's army of knights. They are loyal and deadly, and only upon defeating them in battle you'll find that they were not simply protecting a Lord Vessel, but also Guinevere, daughter of Gwyn. She discloses to the player that she's seen her father change, and that it is up to you, the Chosen Undead, to defeat him and free him from the kiln of the first flame. Gwendolyn presents the player with the Lord Vessel and instructions on how to use it. You return to Firelink Shrine, where you're met by a primordial serpent named King Seeker Frampt, who takes you to Firelink Altar. Another primordial serpent, Dark Seeker Karth, can also be found here. By talking to these serpents, you learn they have very different opinions of the role of the Chosen Undead. Framt wishes for you to link the flame and continue the Age of Fire, whereas Karth pleads for the player to leave the fire to die and usher in an Age of Man. In order to fill the Lord Vessel, the player must kill all four of Gwyn's closest allies. We've mentioned Lord Nito, the Witch of Izalith, and Seath the Scaleless, but you must also destroy the Four Kings. The Four Kings were once great leaders of a country of humans. During the Age of Fire, Gwyn recognized their abilities and foresight and rewarded them with a fragment of his powerful Lord Soul and the title of Kings. Nito is one of the primordial humanoid creatures that appeared underground after the first flame appeared, bringing life, death, and disparity. Nito's body is that of an immensely sized human skeleton, though the ribcage is packed with bits of dead matter and has blown open as a result. The Witch of Izalith established an underground civilization and, at some point, had at least seven daughters, the Daughters of Chaos, who wore gold, hemmed, black robes to protect themselves from the dangerous fires, poisons, and perils of the environment in which they lived. Studying the power of souls and the First Flame, Izalith and her daughters became fire sorcerers, capable of manipulating fire. Seath is a descendant of the primordial archdragons who inhabited the world before the appearance of the First Flame. Seath was born with unique characteristics compared to the original archdragons, as he didn't possess the rock scales that made his peers immortal. In addition, Seath's pale, deformed body was infused with magical power from moonlight. Through their successful alliance against the Everlasting Dragons, Seath became a sworn friend to the Lord of Sunlight, Gwyn, and was amply rewarded for his indispensable contributions to the war. He was gifted one of Gwyn's daughter's hands in marriage, making Seath his son-in-law and ushering in the White Dragon's acceptance to the notability of the gods by bestowing upon him the honour of Duke. After earning his title, Gwyn further gifted Seath a fragment of his powerful Lord Soul. Upon killing all of these enemies and depositing their souls into the Lord Vessel, you are granted entry to the Kiln of the First Flame, a large area covered in ash, and in the centre, an altar, guarded by a man, Gwyn, and the First Flame. You defeat Gwyn, killing him next to the very flame that he protects. It's time for the player to make a decision. Sacrifice your body and soul to the flame as fuel to prolong the Age of Fire, or walk away, becoming a Dark Lord and letting the flame die out, bringing in the Age of Man, a world without light. Ultimately, there is no good ending of Dark Souls. With the Age of Fire continuing to burn, there'll be another chosen undead. For the more powerful you are, the longer you'll burn, but you will not burn forever. However, by bringing in the Age of Man, there is no guarantee that humans can live in the Age of Dark. Karth and Framt both give conflicting information, and it's never explained. In the end, the ending is futile. By linking the fire, you delay the inevitable, but allowing it to burn out, you could be bringing on the end of man. This doesn't begin to scratch the surface of the whole Dark Souls story, but it's put there to serve as a way for you to understand your main objective. If you're interested in Dark Souls and its lore, I implore you to watch the videos of Vati Vidya. He's an incredible series called Prepare to Cry. It's a play on the Dark Souls strapline, Prepare to Die. I've covered a few of the characters in here, but there are 13 main bosses and 24 separate locations in the game, all with interesting and fully formed backstories, creating a world that will make you want to dive headfirst down into the rabbit hole that will keep you engaged for hours. If it isn't clear already, I love Dark Souls. When people ask, are video games art? I would say yes, they are, and Dark Souls is evidence of this. People criticize the game for being too hard, but I don't think it is. I think what Dark Souls has done is managed to strike a balance between challenging and punishing. When you die because you have made a mistake. When you get lost, it's because you have not listened to where you are meant to go. The character you play as is silent so that you, the player, can project who you want the character to be into the game. I've completed Dark Souls many times. I'm playing through it again right now, inspired by needing to do this review. But every time I do, I find a different way of playing, whether you choose to focus on magic, strength, agility, dexterity, pure tank builds. You can choose to run with a shield, to run without a shield. You can choose to mix up your weapons in any combination you choose. Your armor will dictate how quickly you can dodge enemies. The creators of this game, From Software, spawned their own genre of games, Souls-like, taken from the name of Demon Souls, the first in this series. Whilst not linked to the world of Dark Souls, Demon Souls is where this genre began. But Dark Souls is the first project that Hidetaka Miyazaki, the director of Dark Souls, took on with From Software. And it was so successful, he was asked to take on Dark Souls 2, 3, Sekiro, Bloodborne, and Elden Ring. The games have sold millions worldwide and are renowned for their difficulty and challenge. If it isn't clear already, I thoroughly recommend Dark Souls. Make sure you have the time to put into it before you start, because it's not an easy ride.
We are amidst strange beings in a strange land. The flow of time itself is convoluted, with heroes centuries old phasing in and out. The very fabric wavers, and relations shift and obscure. There's no telling how much longer your world and mine will remain in contact. But use this to summon one another as spirits, cross the gaps between the worlds, and engage in jolly cooperation.
Someone had shout out a few people and just thank them. You heard their voices at the start of this episode, right after the original cutscene in audio. Thank you so much to the lovely Dan. Josh from Talking Smack, the Northern Boy's voice was in there. Slade, my wonderful co-host. And Jess, who was the first voice you heard telling the Hollow to rise. We'll see you next week, where Slade is back with his final DLC, covering Call of Duty 3. Thanks for listening.